Hello and welcome to our site as we continue with our sermons in the Minor Prophets in the Old Testament. And so this morning we're in the prophet Haggai, the third last book of the Old Testament. Do hope you have your Bible handy. And turn with me now to Haggai chapter 1. I've entitled our sermon this morning, Whose House Are You Building? Whose House Are You Building? You'll see how that is a relevant question when we read from Haggai chapter 1. Are you ready there? Chapter 1, verse 1. A call to build the house of the Lord. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but have harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Just so far for now, and may God bless his word to us. Whose house are you building? The little book of Haggai in the Old Testament will always be one of my favorites, and I'd like to tell you why. The prophet Haggai dates the times when God encountered him. It's a very good habit, dear friends, to date the times when God encounters you, what we call the inflection moments or spiritual markers in our spiritual pilgrimage with Christ the Shepherd. Well, it was July 1966. Lauren, our firstborn, now with Jesus in paradise, was 1 year old. We were in Pretoria, living in the suburb of Sunnyside, and as a young executive, I had opened a new branch for the East London company that I worked for. My director had recently visited, was very pleased with what he saw, and he mapped out a career path that he was planning for me, so that one day I would also be director of the company. I think he saw me as the son he never had. I would build my life and be able to get into the property market and build a house of my own, like his. But the Holy Spirit came, and like Jacob, I wrestled with God deep into the night. He reminded me that God had a calling on my life, a prior call, and the Holy Spirit began to convict me deeply. At a missions convention 3 years earlier, my wife Elaine and I had surrendered our lives to the Lord of Mission, the Lord Jesus, to do with us whatever he pleased. I cried out to God to help me to know his will, and in his providence and kindness he led me to the prophecy of Haggai. I hardly knew where to find it, but there it was, and God said to me as clearly as can be, "Don't be like the exiles in Judah, who are building for themselves, when my church is neglected and in desperate need of rebuilding. I am building my church," says the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit clearly said to me, "I want you to build with me. And if you'll lay aside your plans for your house and give all your energy to mine, from this day I will bless you, for I have chosen you and put my royal seal on you, and we will build and bring glory, greater glory, to Jesus, the builder of his church." I said, "Lord, won't you confirm that I'm hearing correctly?" And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Turn back to the prophecy of Isaiah and read it." And in chapter 6 of the prophecy of Isaiah, I read how Isaiah saw the Lord and heard him saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go?" And with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, I surrendered fully to the Lord and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And he said, "Go. It won't be easy, but if the seed dies, there'll be a harvest." So here I am today, a servant of Jesus Christ, and I have failed many times since that day in 1966, but God has been faithful to his promise to this very day, and I have been so privileged and blessed to serve his church for these 5 decades and more. The prophet Haggai challenges his compatriots, the 50,000 Jews in Judah who have returned to this promised land to build an altar to the Lord and a temple around the altar in the city God had chosen to call his own, Jerusalem. And the task is a daunting one, and the work is difficult, and disillusionment sets in after they have begun building for a while. The first exhilarating sense of adventure has passed. The honeymoon is over. It was never that good anyway. But reality now sets in. And for the first time in the post-exilic era of the Hebrew people who had gone into captivity in Babylon, the authentic voice of prophecy is heard. It's August, September, and the year is 520 BC. Before the exile, the prophets were full of warnings. The last 3 prophets before the 4th centuries of prophetic silence, before John the Baptist, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are also full of encouragement and comfort, as well as judgment and warning. Encouragement and comfort for the present, the future, and the far distant future. Haggai is the shortest of these little minor prophets here, but he only spoke for 3 months. First August, then October, then December, in 520 BC, that's all. Then Zechariah, whom we looked at last Sunday, took over from him. We're not sure why, but you see, as Peter Marshall, the man called Peter, used to say, the measure of a life is not its duration, but its donation. What was accomplished is the issue. Haggai brought just 26 words from the Lord, in a period of just 5 days, 3 months, when he prophesied, but they all came with the same clarity and conviction, these prophecies of Haggai. Thus says the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign God of heaven, who is all-sufficient and in total control. Haggai was in no doubt whatsoever that he was hearing from God and to pass on the message that God gave to him. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, he speaks to the people who are disillusioned, and in verses 12 to 15, those who respond to his build, the people respond. In fact, they respond wholeheartedly. They respond with one heart, it seems, to the message of the prophet to get building once again. They build with determination. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, Haggai speaks to the exiles who have again become discouraged. And in the following verses, they're reminded that there is a far deeper and more serious problem here. They are defiled. They're doing God's clean work without cleansed hearts. They were defiled, but their sinful state will adversely affect the building of God's house. But the book closes with this encouragement. God will one day overthrow the kingdoms of this world. The treasures of the nations will be laid at his feet, and his cleansed, chosen, and anointed prince will occupy the throne, and God's people will be restored and blessed. Allow me to break the word of the Lord through Haggai down into its given dates. August 5:20, verses 1 to 15, the prophet is basically saying, "You exiles who have returned to Judah to build the temple of the Lord, the time is now. It's now or never. Don't wait any longer. God's house must take priority. Choose this day who you will serve. The time is now to build for the glory of God." October 5:20, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, the prophet's message is basically, take heart and work. Rise and build. God is with you. He'll strengthen you. Don't listen to the pessimists and critics. And they finished in 4.5 years, what Solomon took 7.5 years to complete. Don't be like Solomon, who took double that time to build his own palace. Then December 520 BC, a prophecy of promise and restoration closes the little book. Chapters 2, verses 10 to 23. From Prince Zerubbabel, in the royal line of King David, the only surviving member of the royal line of David, the kingdom of God would not only survive, but one day thrive. So please take away with you two powerful messages from Haggai. Number one, the problems of a self-centered life. And number two, the blessings of a God-centered life. Look at one, number one for a moment. If you look through this little prophecy, only takes a few minutes to read the two chapters. The problems of a self-centered life. The prophet speaks from God and for God. Don't fool yourself, he's saying, into thinking that a self-centered life, building your own house, concentrating on your own little self-centered kingdom of one, like so many people do by nature, don't fool yourself into thinking that a self-centered life will be problem-free and make you a fulfilled, satisfied soul. It will rot your soul. Time and again, the words occur, give careful thought to the way you're living. Give careful thought to the way you're living, says the prophet. Look what happens when you try to build your own little kingdom of one, when you concentrate on building your own life instead of building to the glory of God. These Jews were agrarian. They were utterly dependent on the land. Their self-centered mindset resulted in economic plight, agricultural failure, and stock failure. God called for a drought, even withheld the dew, it says. Chapter 1, verse 10, and chapter 2, verse 17, shows us the price they paid, turning attention to their own houses instead of the house of God. Inflation was rampant, the land was ravaged, and they had a hopeless end. Now contrast that with the blessings of a God-centered life. Every step of obedience, every effort expended in God's service, is an investment in a long-term future, an investment in your eternity, dear friend. These Jewish exiles heeded the prophet's words, stopped building for themselves, and began to build for God, wholeheartedly, seriously. Their genuine repentance is shown by their obedient action. Friend, genuine repentance is always shown by obedient action. Repentance led to reverence. The moment they began to build for God again, they knew the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, the sense of awe of His presence was felt again. The fear of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 12, the presence of the Lord, verse 13, and again in chapter 2 and verse 5. As soon as you fully commit your life to the Lord, as soon as these Jews began to fully commit themselves to the work of building God's house, they were filled with a wonderful sense of reverence for God. They were filled with a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord. And then they began to see the activity of the Lord as they had never seen it before. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They began to work on the house of the Lord, God Almighty, their God. Friend, the moment we commit ourselves like these Hebrews, returned from the exiles into Judah to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord, the moment we can commit ourselves wholeheartedly to God, we begin to experience the true reverence of the Lord, the awesome presence of the Lord, and we begin to see the activity of the Lord in a brand new way as God gets to work in the lives of His people. Not only that, we see the boldness of the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 5, they were fearful before, fearful for their lives, fearful for their failing crops and failing finances and unfinished business. But the moment they set themselves to serve the Lord God wholeheartedly, that fear disappeared, and it was replaced by boldness for the Lord. And then also the promises of the Lord came alive. The moment they set their hearts to build God's temple and lay off creating their own house and own life as a priority, but rather put God first and His kingdom first, the promises of the Lord became alive. They began to see the promises of God fulfilled. Friend, it's exactly the same for us. And then to crown it all, they had fresh and further revelation from God. Put all of these things together. Let me repeat them again. This is what happens when you turn yourself over entirely to God and to His service. You begin to sense the awesome presence of the Lord. You begin to recognize again what it is to reverence the Lord. You begin to sense the presence of the Lord, the activity of the Lord, the boldness of the Lord, the promises of the Lord come alive, and you have further revelation from the Lord. Yes, there will be a battle, and the prophecy closes with the reminder that there will be an end-time battle before Jesus comes again. That could be very soon now. There will be a battle, but as the prophet is shown and is able to share with the people, the battle belongs to the Lord. When we're wholly committed to Jesus Christ and to following Him and joining Him in His ministry of world redemption, building for the kingdom of God and not building just for ourselves, the moment we do that, God Himself takes responsibility for the defeat of opposition, the defeat of the enemy, the defeat of oppression and discouragement and everything else that would hinder us in our task. God is a mighty deliverer, and He is coming again. And the biggest deal of all was that God filled His house with glory. God had promised long before that He would fill His house with glory. And now He promises through Haggai that He'll fill His house with a greater glory than before. This is an interesting rendering of the Hebrew text. There's an alternate rendering or translation, if you like, of one or two of these Hebrew words, and I love the inference that comes through at the end of chapter 2 and verse 7, where the Lord says, I will fill this house that you are building with my glory. The text can really read, I will be glorified fully through this house. I will be glorified fully through this house. In other words, God is not just glorified in his temple, he is glorified fully through his temple. It's all there for his glory, and for his glory to be revealed. And of course, that is prophetic and true of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ today. We as God's people now, redeemed through the precious blood of Jesus, shed on the cross of Calvary that first Easter, we who are the redeemed of the Lord, has become, as the Apostle Peter reminds us in his first letter in chapter 2 and verse 9, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. This comes to fruition and fulfillment in the Church of Jesus Christ, his redeemed community. We're his temple, and he is fully glorified through his church, where his glory dwells. The church is in the world to show forth the glory of God. The Old Testament promise that God gave to his people when they built a physical temple, that he would fill that temple with his glory, manifest his glory through the building of the temple and the ministry of the temple. That is fulfilled through the Church of Jesus Christ. God no longer dwells in a temple built by human hands. We as his people have become the temple of God. The Apostle Peter reminds us that we're like living stones built into a holy temple in which the Lord dwells by his Spirit. And so this is our high calling. What a privilege we have to be living in 2023, to be able to look back over 2,000 years to the fulfillment of the prophetic word concerning the Messiah Jesus, who had come the first time to be the suffering servant of Jehovah, to die on the cross for our sins and rise again for our salvation. And oh, what a blessing to look forward to his second coming. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus will return. He will return, and all his angels with him, and all the heavenly host. And we look forward to that glorious day when we, as the temple of the living God, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, as Paul tells the church at Ephesus, when Jesus will come and be glorified eternally through his church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church of the living God. And so what a blessing, and the choice is ours. Will you choose the problems of a self-centered life, dear friend? Or will you choose the blessings of a God-centered life? I shared with you how that in July 1966, the Lord encountered me and clarified his call upon my life. Since that day, just as he said to his chosen servant at the end of the prophecy of Haggai, I have chosen you, and you're going to be like my signet ring. From this day I will bless you. I can testify today, as can every other true believer in the Lord Jesus, who by God's grace has been faithful to him. We can testify to this fact too. God has not stopped blessing us since the very day we came in full and glad surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I don't want to just be building my own house. I want to build for you and for your glory and for your kingdom. What a blessing to be able to live our lives as Joshua and Caleb did, following the Lord wholeheartedly. What a blessing to live like these returned exiles who got up and built once again so that God's house could be built and his glory manifested. Whose house are you building, dear friend? Yours or his? Shall we pray? O God and Father, we thank you for the prophecy of Haggai, and we can put ourselves into the picture this morning. We recognize that it's just human nature to build for ourselves, to give our energies to following our own pursuits and our own desires. But thank you, Father, that you have a prior claim upon our lives. Thank you that Jesus purchased us outright on the cross of Calvary when he died for us. And so we pray that you'd help us all to offer ourselves to you once again in full and glad surrender, and to rise and build, not for ourselves, but for the kingdom of God and for his eternal glory. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.